Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk about the aid that is being provided by a variety of Western countries. And specifically today, I wanted to talk about Joe Biden's proposal to seek an additional $33 billion worth of aid to provide additional military, humanitarian and economic support to Ukraine. So in today's video, we'll go through the announcement that's just been made by the US. We'll look at how much support has been provided so far by America and also by the other nations who are supporting Ukraine. I'll give you a breakdown of what the three different types of aid actually equate to. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think this means in terms of how long this war is likely to go on for and what the financial implications of all of this are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, as usual, if I can ask you to give me a thumbs up if you're enjoying the content and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. So if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me A Coffee, Patreon and YouTube Super Thanks feature. President Biden has asked US Congress for an additional $33 billion to support the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. Before we get into the detail on this request, let's hear directly from President Biden himself as to why this request has been put forward.
The cost of this fight is not cheap, but caving to aggression is going to be more costly if we allow it to happen. We either back Ukrainian people as they defend their country, or we stand by as the Russians continue their atrocities and aggression in Ukraine. Every day, the Ukrainians pay for the price, and the price they pay is with their lives for this fight. So we need to contribute arms, funding, ammunition, and the economic support to make their courage and sacrifice have purpose so they can continue this fight and do what they're doing. Basically, we're out of money. And so that's why today, in order to sustain Ukraine as it continues to fight, I'm sending Congress a supplemental budget request. It's going to keep weapons and ammunition flowing without interruption to the brave Ukrainian fighters and continue delivering economic and humanitarian assistance to the Ukrainian people. This so-called supplemental funding addresses the needs of the Ukrainian military during the critical weeks and months ahead. And it begins the transition to longer-term security assistance that's going to help Ukraine deter and continue to defend against Russian aggression. This assistance would provide even more artillery, armored vehicles, anti-armored systems, anti-air capabilities that have been used so effectively thus far in the battlefield by the Ukrainian warriors.
So that's the reasoning behind this request. But let's have a look at the breakdown of what that $33 billion is proposed to be spent on. $20.4 billion of the $33 billion is proposed to be invested into additional security and military assistance for Ukraine. These resources will put urgently needed equipment into the hands of Ukraine's military and police, as well as to help NATO defer and defend against Russian aggression over the long term. The additional resources will be used to provide Ukraine and Eastern flank allies with additional military, armored vehicles, anti-armor and anti-air capabilities, accelerated cyber capabilities and advanced air defense systems, assistance to clear landmines, improvised explosive devices and other explosive remnants of war, and a stronger NATO security posture. In addition to the military aid, $8.5 billion will be provided in the form of economic assistance to help the government of Ukraine respond to the immediate crisis and continue to provide basic citizen services, including ensuring Ukraine's democratic government continues functioning, support to counter Russian disinformation and propaganda narratives, and to provide support to small and medium-sized agro-businesses during the fall harvest and for natural gas purchases. In addition to the military and economic support, $3 billion will be provided in the form of humanitarian assistance. This funding will help provide critical resources to address food security needs around the globe, provide wheat and other commodities to people in need, build countries' resilience to global food supply and price shocks, and provide life-saving aid to people displaced by or otherwise impacted by President Putin's war in Ukraine. So as we can see from that breakdown, the vast majority of the money that's been requested is to be used to support the military defence of Ukraine against Russia. And this has come at a really interesting point in the conflict, because President Putin recently warned that any country trying to intervene in the Ukraine war will face a lightning-fast response. "We have all the tools no one can boast of. We will use them if necessary," he said, in what was seen as a reference to ballistic missiles and nuclear arms. So what we appear to be seeing here is a ramping up of this conflict, and there is a danger that other countries will now be drawn into this conflict directly. So President Putin is fully aware that Ukraine is being supported by a lot of Western nations, and he is now sounding the warning bell, trying to stop that support from continuing. Now, the $33 billion that the US is seeking approval for is a huge increase on what they've provided previously. Up until this point, the US had provided around $3 billion worth of support, and $2 billion of that was provided in the form of military equipment. And that $3 billion was provided over the first 2 months of this war. So an increased package that is 10 times larger indicates that either the US believes that this war is going to run on for a considerable length of time and therefore is providing a huge amount of military support, or it's trying to help Ukraine to finish off this war in a very short space of time. Now, one thing that is interesting about the figures that we're talking about is the amount of assets that the US has seized from Russian oligarchs. It's estimated that the US has frozen $30 billion of assets held by wealthy individuals with ties to President Putin. These assets include yachts, helicopters, real estate, and art. Now, as part of his announcement, President Biden also had the following to say about Russian oligarchs.
"In addition to this supplemental funding, I'm also sending to Congress a comprehensive package that will enhance our underlying effort to accommodate the Russian oligarchs and make sure we take their ill-begotten gains. We're going to accommodate them. We're going to seize their yachts, their luxury homes, and other ill-begotten gains. This legislative package strengthens our law enforcement capabilities to seize property linked to Russia's kleptocracy. It's going to create new expedited procedures for forfeiture and seizure of these properties. And it's going to ensure that when the oligarchs' assets are sold off, funds can be used directly to remedy the harm Russia caused in their help build Ukraine."
So from these comments, it's clear that the US is now focusing in on these assets. And if you're looking at these matters logically, it would seem to make sense for the US to try to utilize the value of these frozen assets to fund the military support and humanitarian support and economic support that it is giving to Ukraine. So we'll wait and see whether or not that transpires, but it does seem very coincidental that the new budget is $33 billion and America is currently sitting with around about that number of frozen assets from Russian oligarchs. Now, the USA is not the only country that's providing support to Ukraine, and I thought it was worth looking at some of the other Western nations to get a feel for the amount of support that they're providing. Alongside the USA, the UK has been one of the strongest supporters of Ukraine, and so far has provided around $600 million worth of direct military support and over $500 million of economic and humanitarian support. The European Union, which is a collection of 27 European countries, has so far provided 1.5 billion euros of support directly to Ukraine. Germany, which is a member of the EU, has been providing additional support through its military support fund. And while specific details have not been released, the fund totals $2 billion, and it's likely that the support has been somewhere in the region of 500 million. France has not released specific details, but it's estimated that they have provided around 300 million euros worth of support. And other countries from Europe, such as Norway, Sweden, Finland, have all been providing significant support, estimated to be at least 100 million euros each. Canada has committed over $118 million in military equipment so far and has another $500 million allocated for ongoing military support over the next 12 months. And Australia has committed over $200 million in military aid. So it's difficult to put an exact figure on the amount of aid that is being provided, but the numbers are significantly above $40 billion and could be as high as $50 billion so far in the first 2 months of this campaign. So what does military aid actually look like? Well, as you'll know if you follow the channel, Ukraine is not a member of NATO. NATO is a collection of 30 different countries that all have an alliance that if there is some sort of military action against them, then the other nations will support that country. And because Ukraine wanted to join NATO, that was one of the catalysts for this war, because Russia did not want Ukraine to be part of NATO, because it would have meant that in a future invasion, then NATO would be directly involved against Russia. So what we have here is a situation whereby none of the NATO countries are actively involved in the war. So they're not sending any military personnel, but what they are doing is giving military equipment directly to the Ukrainians. So the package that's just been agreed by the US of $20 billion to support direct military conflict will mean that they will be paying for a variety of guns and weapons and missiles to be sent to Ukraine. This document provided by the White House shows the details of what the first $2 billion of military support provided by the US was invested into. And the support was provided in two separate packages. The first was $1.2 billion in value and the second was $800 million. So you can see across the two lists here that the US provided 1,400 Stinger anti-aircraft missiles. And you can see a video here of what a Stinger anti-aircraft missile is and what it does. They also provided 4,600 Javelin anti-tank missiles. And this video shows you exactly what a Javelin anti-tank missile is and what it does. They provided 5 helicopters, 3 patrol boats, 300 grenade launchers, 70 high-mobility multi-purpose wheeled vehicles, 5,000 rifles, 1,000 pistols, 600 machine guns, 600 shotguns, 1 million grenade mortar and artillery rounds, and over 60 million rounds of ammunition. Now, this list obviously equates to $2 billion of investment. We're now looking at an additional $20 billion. So to get a feel for what that looks like, if you multiply this list by 10, then that's the amount of military equipment that the US is committing to provide to Ukraine. So this is a huge amount of military support and a massive increase compared to what's been provided in the first 2 months of this conflict. So just taking the ammunition as an example, the first $2 billion included 60 million rounds of ammunition. So if we were applying the 10 times multiple to that, that would equate to 600 million rounds of ammunition that is being signed off to be provided to Ukraine as part of the ongoing war. And just to put that into perspective, there are only 144 million people in the whole of Russia. So what is economic aid that's provided as part of this assistance package? Well, essentially, this is the same sort of aid that the IMF or the World Bank or one of the other global organisations would be providing. Ukraine is currently in a situation where it has very little revenue coming into the country. So a lot of its industry has been closed down. A lot of people have left Ukraine, so its workforce is no longer there. But even its raw materials, such as its agriculture industry and other factors like that, are no longer productive. We don't have people who are tending the fields right now. We don't have any forms of being able to ship out any of the goods. So Ukraine has lost all of its sources of revenue. But clearly, it still needs money to continue existing. All of the people who are employed by the government all still need to be paid. We've still got a lot of cities around Ukraine that are existing relatively as normal. So much of the East is currently embroiled in warfare, but there are parts of the country that there is no conflict going on. And those areas need money. People need to be paid. They need to carry on existing. So Ukraine does need support. And rather than taking on more and more debt from the international agencies, it's now being given aid by a variety of countries. So the US has included $8 billion worth of economic aid as part of this $33 billion package. And that economic aid will be given to Ukraine to help it to survive through this crisis. Humanitarian aid is essentially disaster relief. So this is essential materials that are needed for human existence. So we're talking about water and food and shelter, all of the things that are basic necessities when there is some form of disaster. The US package has included $3 billion of humanitarian support, and this will be provided in a variety of different forms. Some of the humanitarian aid will be needed directly in Ukraine right now. So people who've been displaced, who don't have anywhere to live, who need some form of assistance. But it will also be provided to other countries who are assisting the refugees who've left Ukraine, and also some of the countries that are being affected directly by what's going on. So Ukraine is one of the largest exporters of wheat and sunflower oil, and the loss of those exports is having an impact on other countries who are now having food crises. So some of that money will go to help those countries to be able to buy products from other parts of the world in order to replace what it's lost from the Ukraine supplies. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think the numbers that we're talking about here are firstly very interesting. $33 billion worth of support is a huge package. This is a massive amount. So the economic impact of that is obvious. This is going to add another $33 billion to the US debt total. Now that total is over 20 trillion, so I guess 33 billion gets lost in the roundings to a certain extent. But without being frivolous about it, it is increasing the debt burden for all of the countries around the world. Everybody who's providing support and assistance to Ukraine right now is having to borrow money to do that because all of the countries of the world are in massive debt because of what happened over the last 2 years with COVID. So issues like this will mean that the debt burden carries on for longer and it will take everybody longer to recover. But putting the economic issues to one side, a commitment of $33 billion, a 10 times increase on what's been committed so far by the USA, means that we are looking at a long haul here. This doesn't seem like a war that's going to disappear quickly. If the USA believes that it needs $33 billion to provide sufficient support to Ukraine to be able to see it through to the end of this war, that indicates that this war is likely to go on for many, many months yet. If the US spent $3 billion in the first 2 months and is now committing $33 billion, that indicates that this war potentially could go on for 10 times longer than it's gone on already, which would indicate a period of about 2 years. Now, hopefully, there is no way that this war will go on for 2 years, because if it does, it will have a disastrous impact on the global economy. The other big concern is that Russia has recently come out and started making threats about potential nuclear strikes. And they did that because they said that a lot of nations were involved in this war by proxy. And what they meant by that was that essentially NATO was funding all of the defense that Ukraine was putting up against Russia, and therefore Russia sees NATO as being involved in the war. And President Putin followed up those remarks by saying that any country that became involved would see a lightning response from Russia. So there is a lot of threats being made on the Russian side of things. And the $33 billion package that the US is seeking approval for seems to be stepping up to that mark. It seems to be a response to those threats that we will support this action and we will be seen to be doing so. This is in the public domain. This is not secret news. Everybody is aware that President Biden's trying to give $33 billion worth of support. So this effectively is throwing the gauntlet down to Russia to say, okay, you've made threats about nuclear war. You've made threats about lightning responses. We don't care about those threats. We are going to make a very public response showing that we are going to give a lot of support to Ukraine. Ukraine. So the real risk here is that this could escalate into a USA versus Russia event. Rather than just being about Ukraine, this could become a global conflict. And obviously, from a financial point of view, that would be an utter disaster for everybody. Because if the US gets drawn into this war directly, then we are very much looking at World War III. So hopefully that's not going to happen. But my concern here is that the amount being committed to the ongoing defense of Ukraine is massive. Russia are unlikely to back down, and we could be locked into this war for at least the rest of 2022. And if that happens, then we will definitely see negative impacts on the global economy. We've already seen rises in the price of oil and gas and wheat and a variety of other commodities. We're seeing changes to the supply chains. We're seeing Russia switching off gas to countries like Poland and Bulgaria. That potentially could happen all across Europe. We could see blackouts appearing in Germany and Italy and other countries. And this could really bring us into one of the biggest recessions that we have seen in living memory. So obviously, I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments that I think is relevant. If you've liked what I've said today in terms of being interesting, informative, and educational, then please give me that thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. We've now smashed through 3,000 hours of watch time. So we are 75% there, almost there. It's within touching distance now. But we still need that last 1,000 hours of watch time. And I know it's boring, and I know you've seen all the videos, and it's not really very interesting. I will try to post some new stuff on there just to get a bit more activity and something more interesting to watch. But if you have time and if you have the inclination, please jump over to Joe Blogs 2, click on one or two of the videos or click on the playlist if you can, and then we will run down that 1,000 hours. I can apply for the monetization, and then we can start the exciting variety showcase for Joe Blogs 2 and find some YouTube stars of the future. So thanks again for watching this particular bit of the video, and thanks for watching this video all the way to the end.